Murph, I said, I don't know if I can do this. What's there to figure? Murphy said. There's a monster in the middle of a circle. I figure it's one of those loop guru from your report. I figure it's Harley McFinn, the owner of this house. Someone who knows he's going to go nuts when the moon rises. The girl tries to hold the monster inside the magic circle, right? Something goes wrong when McFinn goes furry. He gets out of the circle, wastes her, then leaves. Uh-huh, I said, without turning around to look at Kim's body again. It makes sense. And I told her what I'd learned from the demon about Harley McFinn, the Northwest Passage Project, and his antagonism with Marconi's business interests. Murphy listened to me in utter silence. When I was finished, she nodded and turned to leave the room. Follow, she said shortly. I followed, almost on her heels. I didn't turn around to see the room again before I left. She led me down the hall into another bedroom, this one furnished and neatly kept. Come here, she said, moving to a dresser. I did, and she handed me a photograph of a middle-aged, starkly handsome man, his skin deeply tanned, the bones of his face gaunt and sharp. He was smiling. Beside him in the picture was the amber-eyed woman from the department store where I'd run across the alphas. She was also smiling. Her teeth were very white, very even, and her dark skin and silver-peppered hair went well with the man beside her. I chewed my lip for a second, trying to think. That's Harley McFinn, Murphy said. Matches the picture on his driver's license. I didn't turn up any ID on the woman next to him, though. She studied my face critically. She matches the description of the woman you said you saw in the department store, though. The one who followed us back from the scene at Rosemont. Is that her? I nodded. Yeah. That's her. Murphy nodded, took the picture from me and set it on the dresser. Follow, she said again and walked out. I stared after her. What's wrong with Murphy? Had the scene unsettled her so much? I shook my head, still stunned from what I had seen, from too many facts coming together all at once, slam bam in my brain. Murph, wait, I said. Stop a minute. What's going on? She didn't answer me. Just shot me a glare over his shoulder and continued to walk. I hurried to catch up with her. We went down what looked like a servant's narrow spiral staircase, down into the basement. She led me to the back of a storage room and pushed open a heavy steel door there that opened into a small, stark chamber, all of concrete, with no other exits. In the middle of the chamber was another three-ring summoning circle, but this one's symbols had been made from silver and set into the concrete of the floor. Short bars of what looked like a mixture of silver and obsidian were interspersed around the second circle, creating what would, if the circle was functional, be a very formidable barrier. But the symbols had been marred, torn, broken. Several from the critical inner circle had been pried up from the floor and were simply missing. Some of the bars had been broken. The circle, as it was non-functional and worthless. But whole, it would have served to contain Harley McFinn when he shifted into his beast form. The room was a prison he had created for himself, something to contain the fury of the beast inside of him. But someone had intentionally marred the circle, made the prison useless. And I abruptly understood Kim Delaney's request. She had to have known Harley McFinn, maybe through her environmental activism. She must have learned of his curse and wanted to help him. When I had refused to help her, she had attempted to recreate the greater summoning circle upstairs in the bedroom to hold in McFinn once the moon rose. As I had warned her would happen, she had failed. She hadn't had the knowledge necessary to understand how such a construct would function, and consequently, she hadn't been able to make it work. McFinn had killed her. Kim was dead because I had refused to share my knowledge with her, because I hadn't given her my help. I'd been so secure in my knowledge and wisdom, withholding such secrets from her had been the action of a concerned and reasoned adult speaking to an overeager child. I couldn't believe my own arrogance, the utter confidence with which I had condemned her to death. I started to shake harder. Too many things pressing against my mind, my heart. I could feel the pressure somewhere inside of me. That switch on the side of my head quivering, getting ready to flick back beneath a tide of raging anger, fury, regret, self-hatred. I took deep breaths and closed my eyes, trying not to let it happen. I opened my eyes and looked up at Murphy. God, I needed to talk to her. I needed a friend. I needed someone to listen, to tell me it would be all right, whether it was the truth or not. I needed someone to let me unload on them, to keep me from flying apart. She regarded me with cold, angry eyes. Karen, I whispered. She drew from her pocket a crumpled piece of paper. She unfolded it and held it up to me so that I could see Kim Delaney's graceful handwriting, the sketch of the summoning circle she had brought to me at McAnally's, the sketch I had refused to tell Kim about, the sketch I had crumpled into a little ball and tossed on the floor, and which Murphy had picked up, absently, just to get the trash out of people's way. And I realized why there was so much anger in Murphy's eyes. I stared at the sketch. Karen, I began again. Stars above, you've got to listen to me. I took the sketch from her hands, my fingers trembling. Harry, she said in a calm tone. You lying bastard. And on the word, she drove her fist into my stomach, hard, doubling me over. The motion put my head within easy reach, and her fists took me across the jaw in a right cross and sent me to the floor like a lump of wet pasta, stars dancing in my vision. I was only dimly aware of her taking the sketch back from me. She twisted my arms painfully behind my back and snapped her handcuffs around my wrist. You promised me, she said, her voice furious. You promised. No secrets. You lied to me all along. You played me like a sucker the entire while. God damn it, Dresden. You're involved in this and people are dying. Murph, I mumbled. Wait. She grabbed my hair, jerked my head back, and slammed me across the jaw again, near berserker anger leading her strength. My head swam and blackness closed over my vision for several seconds. No more talking, no more lies, I heard her say, and she dragged me to my feet, shoving my face and chest against a wall to begin searching me for weapons. No more people torn up like meat on a block. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. She took my blasting rod, my shield bracelet, the energy ring, even my lump of chalk. Her voice went on, hard, cold, and professional, letting me know my rights. I closed my eyes and leaned against the stone wall. Next to my head, it was the softest thing in the room. I didn't try to fight or explain. What was the point?